Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. And one of the opportunities that we have through this platform is to let you know some of the great things that are happening around Washington Heights Church. And some of those things don't get a lot of headlines, don't get a lot of upfront time, but it makes them absolutely no less important than so many of the other things that you might know about. And today, I have the opportunity to share one of those with you. And joining me today is Leslie Osick. And Leslie, thank you for joining us here today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your family, things like that.
Okay, good morning, Roy. I am excited to be talking with you today. I'm originally from Chicago, moved out here when I got married. I have two sons, and I would say I'm from a German, a little bit of Czechoslovakian background. So being the German, it's always, you know, a social event. Let's eat.
I grew up in that home. Yeah, I know what that's about.
You know, it's just amazing. I can remember Sunday dinners. We're always at grandma's house around this big, huge dining room table. And there were so many of us, we ate in like three shifts. And it's interesting to when I reflect back on the dynamics, the men ate first, then the children, and then all the women. And then I thought, this is interesting. We did all the cooking. We did all the cleanup. And then, you know, but it was interesting. I learned how to cook from my grandma, Savatki. And my mother had a background in food service. She started in the high schools, worked herself up to a buyer of seven of the predominant high schools in the Chicagoland area. So she was teaching me a lot about quantitative cooking and spices. She did not believe in salt and pepper. She'd always say they're poison to the system. So I learned to cook a lot with spices. And my son was just over last night for dinner, and he says, Mom, there's four of us. Why do we have a four-pound meatloaf?
Yeah, we used to ask, what other 20 people are coming for dinner? Oh, no, it's just us. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it was large quantities. I have to ask you a really important Chicago question then, at least it's important to me. So North Side Chicago Cubs or South Side Chicago White Sox?
Oh, Cubbies. Let me give you a little more background of the family. Grandpa Deering was a fire chief, and he was positioned or assigned the firehouse right across from Wrigley Field. Yeah. Wow. So we'd take the bus, you know, from Diversity Avenue in Chicago or California Avenue and always hit the Cubs game. And my brother and I recently went to Chicago, and we visited the firehouse. And my grandpa, his name was Henry, but they always called him Dutch because he was German. And this one of the firemen walked up to us and said, are you talking about Dutch Deering? And they had a picture of my grandpa in the firehouse. Isn't that cool?
Wow, that is cool. Not sure I get the connection between the Dutch and the Germans, but okay. That is cool, though, that he was there.
I know, but that's what they always called him. I know. I'm going, isn't there some other country? But anyway, yeah.
Details.
I know.
Hey, I invited you on the podcast today to talk about a ministry, an awesome ministry that you oversee, and it is our kitchen ministry. And give us a little bit, you know, of just the big picture. What is that all about, and how does it work?
Oh, boy. Do you have a while?
No, we got about 20 minutes.
Okay. It's very hard for me to make things short. You know, I always say bottom line. But what it is a group of wonderful, wonderful people that donate their time, their services, their ideas to prepare meals for a lot of the different events being held at Washington Heights or other places. And we all come together. Like I said, I kind of have taken the team leader role because it deals with the buying, the quantitative, you know, how much should we buy, shouldn't we buy, that kind of thing. And it's interesting how everybody just digs in and knows what has to be done to serve other people. And we have a variety. I have a group code on email that I go out to for bigger events. I need more people. There's men on the committee there and women, and we all just serve together, and it's a very rewarding experience.
And just seeing it in action a number of times, there's a lot of laughter coming out of that kitchen and a lot of smiles on the faces there. So it just seems like there's a great passion for doing that. And you mentioned some of the things that happen. So what kind of events does the kitchen crew support?
Okay. We do a lot of the funeral meals for families that if a funeral is held at Washington Heights or if it is held somewhere else, we have also done that. We've served the Job Corps kids. Love to work with those kids. Love to. And we've helped with the children's ministry. We've done a lot of big barbecues. One was for over 700 people for the Serve Ogden projects. This past year, we went to a girls' home in Tooele. And we had a big barbecue there, which was very, very fun. We've done meals for firemen. So we've gotten out into the community, and the appreciation is just amazing. And I can't even say what it does to us, Roy. It's a feeling that we're just doing the Lord's work. We're serving others. We're helping people through harder times to bring a smile on their face and to a safety zone. Oh, and another thing that we started out doing was getting to know people through a past event we used to host through Dinner Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've participated in a number of those funerals that you talked about, and I got to tell you, one of the most frequent comments I get about something that truly helped people in the moment is that funeral meal. Because you think about, anywhere from 50 and, boy, we've had up to how many? I mean, some of those meals have been hundreds of people that were served.
Yeah.
And how could a family do that in a home, where they'd have to make other arrangements and think about putting all of that together and how that all comes together? And to have that taken care of for them just meets a very specific need in that moment. And I can't tell you the amount of times people have just gone out of their way or have donated saying, this is great, but we want to help somebody else have this. And so it's almost kind of a pay it forward kind of idea where people say, we just want to help somebody else, to have this same opportunity that we had today with this meal that was prepared for them. And the opportunity just for the family to think about spending time with each other and remembering their lost loved one. And when we talk about meeting a specific need, the kitchen team certainly is doing that. One of the other things that I know you're a part of is doing the meals for Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was so interesting. I was talking with your wife, Sally.
Imagine that.
And I just thought, wow, this lady's got a really large workload of getting the meal and preparing for that evening and always making sure there's some gluten-free dessert for our people that have that request. And again, I thought, I think our team could help. So I asked a few of them. I said, now this is a commitment. And every Tuesday, if we can help out, oh my gosh, they were so excited, Roy, I can't tell you. And the benefit of this is just not the team coming together. We tried to keep it more just, you know, ourselves located in the kitchen area. I don't want to say for confidentiality, just out of respect for people's privacy and stuff. Oh my gosh, they're all in the kitchen with us. It has just turned into such a nice friendship and a fellowship. And some have asked us to hear testimonies. And all I can say is it was just meant to be.
Yeah, and it has made such a big positive difference there. And, you know, so many people come right from work to celebrate recovery and not having to think about buying a meal. Those meals are provided at no cost to the people who show up and allows them to just, you know, connect with each other and apparently connect with you in the kitchen too, right? Confidentiality be darned. We're going to talk to people here.
I know. And away we go.
And man, do they appreciate that as well. And every week we remind people about that amazing crew. And I'm telling you, the applause and the response for the amazing kitchen team that has just served them is genuine and heartfelt. And what do you think, you know, it's one thing to be doing for others. What would you say that opportunity to serve in that specific way has done for the team members? How do you think that serving in such a practical way helps us to grow spiritually or relationally? What impact are you seeing in your team?
It's so interesting. I just got a text the other night from one of the team members. And we had talked about what does this do for us, for our growth. And you know what they said? Spiritually, like you just mentioned, Roy, but the fellowship and friendship of our church family, that when someone is down and out or having a bad day or bad hair like girls usually say, it's so interesting. A text will come on the phone or a phone call just saying, I need a hug. And we send hugs. You know, it's just, it has developed more from just a service to a friendship and a relationship with one another.
Wow. And isn't that just kind of the win in God's economy, you know, is that, hey, let me get involved in doing something for somebody else. And then we get blessed in return, right? Which really shouldn't surprise us because Jesus said, you know, you give your life away and really you keep it. But so often we make it about ourselves and we lose it in the process of that.
Right. Well, Roy, it's so interesting. My mother always used to say, go do for someone else. You're just going to feel so much better. And it's so true. It's just not being told what to do, but just giving of yourselves. And it's amazing how the Lord just opens up this vast field of people out there that are loving and kind and just want to be in some sort of relationship. And it's just, like I said, we all look forward to it. In fact, when people cannot make a Tuesday night, because that's our weekly schedule, they're more apologetic, and I'm like, it's okay, you guys. It's okay. Things come up.
Yeah,
but it's
happens.
Just the, right, they just want to be there. And I feel like the proud parent, you know what I mean? But it's not about that. It's just that we've developed such a good relationship and rapport.
And I think you hit on something there with that feedback on that text, and I know you've probably heard it more than several times. But we often will think that spiritual growth happens through information and knowledge, and certainly that is an important part of it. But when you look at Jesus' life with his disciples, it wasn't all that, that it was more diverse than that. And there was a time, and I'm thinking specifically of a food scenario, where there were 5,000 men, and, you know, a lot of commentators think, and there were 5,000 women plus children, so there could have been 15, you know, going on 20,000 people there. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, send them away, you know, it's getting, you know, late and they're hungry. And then Jesus turns to them and goes, you feed them. And it would take an awful lot of money to do that. And then Jesus goes about to do something that only he can. But there was one of those real life teaching moments that is actually referred to, because not too long after that, they get in a boat and they wind up in a storm. And when they feared, it, you know, has this reference that they did not learn the lesson of the loaves and the fishes. And so there was something in that food teaching session there that was a real life moment that was meant to enlarge their heart, their belief, their understanding. And I think sometimes we shrink down what it means to learn and to grow spiritually into things that are knowledge and information based. But some of them are experienced in real life, and that's what it sounds like you're talking about, that in the middle of serving people in a real-life moment, we are learning and we are growing and we're becoming more spiritually mature.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, my background, when I mentioned in Chicago, I've shared this with many people, especially on my team, that my parents' best friends was Pastor Bob and Helen. I said, that'd be like best friends Roy and Sally. So I was raised in a real Christian family, and you learn all the teachings, but I can tell you, by just doing what we're doing, we're developing that relationship with the Lord. It's just amazing how you can grow and be comfortable.
So if somebody, Leslie, was new to Washington Heights and maybe that whole serving thing, and it doesn't have to be the kitchen, it could be anywhere, right? And they were like, yeah, I don't know about getting plugged in. It sounds a little risky and scary and, you know, maybe a commitment. What encouragement would you give them in that direction? What would you tell them?
Do you mean on the committee end, like for the kitchen area, or just serving in general?
I mean, just serving in some way, what would you say, you know, would be waiting for them on the other side of taking that kind of a real step?
I would say a growth in yourself. Peace comes over you. I don't want to use the word pride, but I'm kind of going there where it's just such a good feeling to help other people and to serve other people. And you're serving yourself and them at the same time, where your growth in the Lord, your growth in relationships with people, and you're modeling behavior of what the, how the Lord has come for us, or as an example, I should say. Doing for others, being kind and listening. It's easy. There's no, shall we say, rules or regulations about it. It's just giving what you possibly can give. Some people on the team can want to come every week. Some can come once a month. There's no rigidness to it. It's just when you possibly can. But the overall effect, I would say, is the growth in yourself also. And the peace that comes with it.
Well, Leslie, as we begin to kind of wind this down, I want to ask you a question that I've asked, you know, the people who have been on the podcast. What's a lesson you've been learning lately? Just what have you seen? And it could be from the kitchen thing. It could be from anywhere, though. It could be, you know, from your life, your kids, your grandkids, whatever.
I would say, as I grow spiritually in my relationship with the Lord, there's a peace that comes over me. There's a situation of, shall we say, trust. When things can get a little way out of hand or whatever, it's always, I am with you. I am with you. okay. And you really start to believe that. So I would say overall, it's the growth in yourself with the Lord.
Well, Leslie, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for what you do. You know, you talked about a phenomenal team, and they have a phenomenal leader. And thank you for what you do. And you're can-do, always laughing, positive, we can get this done. And sometimes making food appear out of thin air, I really believe that there have been some food miracles there in the kitchen. Sometimes it's like, where did that come from? I don't know. Leslie just made it happen.
In your comment, when you talked about the loaves of bread and fish, I can remember one evening that we had planned for 30 and like 60 people showed up. And you know, Roy, what we did, the dynamics, we all said a prayer and we said, we need the loaves of fish and the bread. We can do this. And we fed them all.
Yeah, God's done that before. He's done that one before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Leslie, thank you for giving so much of yourself. And it is just so evident that your heart and soul is in that. And it comes from a place of just loving to serve people. And really, I think, you know, beneath that is even just a love for the Jesus of the Bible. And thank you for making that just so evident and so real as you continue to serve.
Thank you, Roy. It's my pleasure, and it's my team's pleasure.
Well, thanks for joining us again today, Leslie, and for everybody who's tuning in. We will see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.